While we're all out of order, I'll say again, I'm only objecting because I object to all tabling motions. I don't believe in cutting off the debate.
Okay, we have a motion to table further consideration of the physical fitness equipment. Is there unanimous consent has been asked. Is there objection?
Object.
There's objection by Representative Brown. Please call the question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
President Curtula?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Senator Ray?
Yes.
Senator Rhodey?
Yes.
Representative Vasquez?
Yes.
Chairman Malone?
Yes.
Representative Byrne?
No.
Representative Brown?
No, even though you're right on the merits.
Senator Elias?
Yes.
What?
Nine to two.
The motion is adopted, 9-2. Are there other items under the executive director's report?
No.
He's a coroner. He has vested interests.
Moving on then old business. The first item there under old business relates to some office space again, and that is that legislature has under lease the office space upstairs above the Legislative Information Office in Anchorage here. And in the use of that space for offices during the interim, some remodeling is necessary. There wasn't any action by the council. However, I did ask the agency to encumber funds subject to action by the council. I don't know if we have the bill for the remodeling at this point or what the total costs are.
Harrison, you have
Mr. Chairman, a bid was $8,000, and the bill had been in that it would be a profitable data. We had to, in addition to the initial, we had to move some wiring for lighting and so on because the walls blocked up. But it would be right at $8,000 and I encumbered $10,000 for what I first did. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
I guess we always ask these questions after the fact, you know, the barn door is open and the horse is gone, but I'm familiar with the situation in the rental market here in Anchorage that, you know, here we're sitting, it's kind of like an aircraft dry lease or something. We're doing all the improvements for them to have the right for us to lease about a half of their building, you know. Why don't we ever attempt to negotiate to get them to make improvements to make the tenant happy so we won't leave?
I'll answer some of that, Mr. Brown.
Maybe we have, I don't know, I'll try.
Of course, with the other legislative operations that have been based there in that building, it is, of course, pretty cost-effective to have, if possible, to have any interim operations based in the same location. And there were other requests for the space from other people wishing to lease it. So I think that the situation we're in is that we pay for it, or if we want to give up the lease, we can do that too, because there are other people that are willing to pay.
What motion is necessary, Mr.
What I would ask the council, I suppose appropriate thing would be to authorize the agency to expend up to the amount of the encumbrance for the purpose of the remodeling of the space in the I don't know the name of the building, the formal name of it.
Legal Center Building.
The which?
Legal Center Building.
Legal Center Building on 6th Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, I would so move and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The next item under old business has already been taken care of. Senator Ray?
Where are we now? The only reason I'm jumping back and forth here is I'm trying to arrange my transportation. There is a problem that I think that we all should address, and I'd like to bring it up this time in a special order of business. And that's the action of the Attorney General on the longevity bonus.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, Senator Ray has the floor.
Just a statement first.
Sure.
I've got a station wagon, and I'll leave from here to the airport, so anybody who needs to ride to the airport from here is more than welcome to go with me.
Ed would pick him up.
Ed would.
What do we need, a half hour? Is that adequate?
We better ask for 40 minutes from here.
Your time's going to be 5:40.
5:50.
Could we...
50 minutes.
Is it within order to discuss this at this time?
If the council agrees to bring it up as a special order of business, certainly is, Senator Ray.
We're going to bring it up, more as a special order of business now. We're going to bring it up as a special order of business.
Now, is this the legislative bonus for having served in the 12th?
Combat.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ray?
Now, I have to, all I have to go on is, of course, the burblings or babbling of the media. And sometimes we know that they are less than accurate. But for the purposes of discussion, I think that we'll go ahead and use those. This thing here. Whereas the state throws in the towel on the residency rule, I think everybody's seen it, and there must be enough intelligence in there to, and close enough to the truth that we can at least use it as a starting point. I find some very strange things said here, that the Attorney General has said that he says that we should do something sometime, but at the present time, because of the action of the Supreme Court, June 14th.
U.S.
Yeah, this is U.S. Supreme Court, that he feels that we should go ahead and pay everybody who's been here at least 6 months and who has reached 65 years of age the longevity bonus. Very commendable idea, Mr. Chairman, and one that I wholeheartedly would support, but it's illegal. You can't do that, at least from what I can understand and the time I've been in the legislature. In the Alaska longevity bonus, they have the editor's note there that says there's a non-severability clause. If one thing is gone or wrong with the longevity bonus, it all goes down. Senator Curtula and myself, ex-Senator Tillian,
Buttrevich.
John Buttrevich, and I can't remember, there was six of us, it was on the free conference, and when we wrote the bill, the free conference bill, and when we got down to the end of it, we made sure, and that was one of the facets, we made sure that there was a non-severability clause in there, because we didn't want particularly health and social services to take it over and make it a social program or a program that was dependent on relief. So that's, do you remember that?
Well, I remember specifically, as a matter of fact, I drew on my memory yesterday and discussed this with Senator Ray and got Senator Representative Halford, because Representative Hayes wasn't available. We got a very good attorney in Senator Fisher's office, Nancy Grosnick, to re-research our memory, and it is our opinion, my opinion, that Senator Ray is correct, that any portion of this law that's found invalid or needs changing invalidates it all if, in fact, that is the decision by the court. Senator, I think that Rick Halford, I thought we would bring it to the attention today of Legislative Council, this subjects this whole issue to a possible special session, but the first approach is possible. Rick Halford has been looking into this during the day while we were at audit committee meeting, and Rick has a thought here on entering as a friend of the court and of course opposing this decision being rendered at this time, or being attempted to be rendered at this time by the Attorney General, and I'd like to have Rick make that statement for his effort here, his study.
Does that mean they're going to do this action
before he gets started? I I just want to say that was my purpose of intent of bringing it up at this time. My time is limited now, and if it requires a vote, I would hope that we would take that vote in very short notice here, if we all have a collective mind to question this thing, because I want to be an affirmative vote, and yet I know that I'm going to have to be leaving here before.
Senator Ray, Senator Katula, and Senator Katula mentioned that Representative Halford had some information on the subject. You want to go ahead without the information?
Chairman, I want one piece of information I want to make sure we start with, because I'm not sure I haven't read all the news stories. Is the situation, the settlement I've heard about in the news, is actually being done as an action in court in this lawsuit that's been put in? Otherwise, we may have no friend of court thing to do on our own, and it may even require us to bring some kind of an initial action ourselves.
Yes, I'll go.
Representative Halford.
This was just basically came to my attention through the press, and upon talking to Senator Katula, I went back and looked at the statute as he did, and also tried to figure out what some of the statements made, what the effect of them was, and just where we were. Today we're spending $28 million for 9,000 people. We've got a case filed a few days ago, and already through the press we're hearing that there's a proposal for a settlement. There's no paper trail to even follow. All you have is the initial complaint. There's been a meeting between the attorneys and the judge, and there's nothing written, there's nothing there. I think it's fairly clear that the Attorney General can't make a determination himself. What he's doing is advocating a course of action, apparently, for the judge, and the judge would have to make a decision. So there would be some kind of a formal decision in a court. To me, that, of course, triggers the non-severability provision in the longevity bonus, which says very specifically, the application of a provision of this act to any person or circumstances is held invalid. This entire act is invalid. And that endangers a program that I think is one of the institutions that most Alaskans would certainly like to protect. The alternatives, I can't understand first why the Attorney General is in such an immediate effort to take action when this thing has just been filed several days ago. I think no action may be the best course until we go into the next session. We
haven't
have to look at another.
I have issue. A motion that may solve this point, even though you want to continue, and that is that the legislative counsel, and I've just been talking to our chief counsel, the legislative counsel go on record directing its letter to the Attorney General that he not proceed in this fashion, but that he withdraw from this position.
You see, Mr. Chairman, if I'm right, you see, there's where they got us all the time. Now, here comes the Attorney General saying, hey, we aren't going to support this. Now, the legislature is saying, well, we don't want you to settle this case. Here's the Attorney General saying he's giving you every indication that he will not support the legislature in any fashion on this proposition, that he's already made up his mind how it's going to work. And if we want any legal backing, we're going to have to get our own in some manner or fashion.
We'll have to wait upon the governor personally. We'll have to wait on the governor.
Yeah, that makes it nice, doesn't it?
The only comment I have on it is if the, you know, in response to, I think it was offered by Representative Halford, that if no action is taken by the Attorney General, I suppose that means that the court grants relief to the plaintiff and that stops the program. And if that happens, it's something I don't think people want to see that happen. Representative Brown.
Chairman, of course, as a matter of law, the Attorney General and the executive branch is supposed to execute the laws. Also, there's supposed to be a presumption in favor of the constitutionality of the law until it's been determined otherwise. I'm just basically trying to save everybody time, and if the motion is inconsistent with what Mr. Halford and his two senators want, I'll withdraw it. But I would move the letter of the sort described by the Senate President be sent, and if the Attorney General still continues in his action, that we
authorize Legal Services Division to take action, including appropriating, expending funds for outside counsel if necessary for the preliminary matters up to $5,000 for the purposes of intervening in an action which apparently I'm just informed has already been brought in Juneau on Wednesday. And the plan apparently is that this settlement is to be entered by consent decree. So there is some legal proceeding that we can enter into. So my motion is we send the letter. If the Attorney General ignores it, we intervene in the case and argue the position the Attorney General should argue.
Question, Mr. King.
Representative Halford.
Now that motion, I think, is exactly what I had in mind. I think what we may end up having to do, we may not have standing to actually enter the case. We may have to enter only as a friend of the court and present an argument, but we may not have direct standing to enter the cases, according to my conversations with the code advisor and also with our head of legal services.
Mr. Chairman, as an amendment to the motion, I would just say that either as a party or as amicus curiae. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Now, Senator Lyason.
Well, the question I have, are we directing our communication to the right person? It seems to me that the Attorney General, who is a hired gun of the governor, seems to me the governor would you know, should be involved in it somewhere.
Copy the governor.
I think we had a call.
Copy the governor.
Yeah.
I
don't think there is any additional.
Expressing it. The liberty of expressing an opinion on this from the chair, I have strong reservations about the course of action. It seems to me if the plaintiff seeks injunctive relief, will be exactly the situation where we don't want to be, or at least most people probably don't want to be. And that, that was granted in the apparently in the case that the Attorney General is basing his current statements on, and so. That's my own personal reservation about
it. With you, the problem is,
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my motion to clear the air, and then somebody can make another motion later.
Hugh, the problem is probably any amendment, though, even by the Attorney General, to this law makes it null and void in any event. So in both cases, we're in trouble. I think the course of action suggested by Mr. Halford, Senator Ray, and the minority leader probably is the course of action we ought to take, but being on top of it by further sending members of the consul to Omar and Juneau, as Representative Miller and Senator Ray, both distinguished longtime members of the legislature, both understand the program and see the governor too, because he is going to be in strong support of the existing, continuing the program.
His office is in Anchorage.
Well, he's in Juneau right now, Monday. And also we'll wait on him. I think we ought to take the course of action motioned by
more than happy to go up there Monday
by the minority leader.
Raise hell there.
We do have a motion that's placed before the council, and then a motion to withdraw the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to withdraw the motion. It occurs to me I don't really want to cut off my father's longevity bonus. So, you know, and if he finds out that I made the motion of council, I don't think he'd really like it. So I'll withdraw it.
Okay. Is there objection to Representative Brown withdrawing the motion?
You don't object to him, just
this
withdraw.
This is an objection to Representative Brown.
Okay.
I'll replace
it. Senator Rohde is replacing the motion.
I'll let your father do.
Representative
ask
Phillips.
Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been asked. There is objection to the motion.
Objection.
Representative Phillips.
Do we have the motion restated now so we all understand?
Perhaps Representative Brown could restate the motion that Representative Rohde made.
Everybody can collectively jump in if I'm wrong. I think it was that the letter described by Senator Curtula be sent to the Attorney General. I think it's been sent to the council.
And
the communication all be directed to the governor. Also, stating our position on the matter, and then if they proceed with the course they've outlined anyway, that we intervene in this case either as a party or as a friend of the court. And authorize the expenditure of additional outside funds up to $5,000. But that's Senator Rohde's motion.
Yes.
Is there further discussion?
Well, a couple points.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to clear that. Number one is, has anyone in this body talked directly to the Attorney General on this particular question?
He has.
Okay, number two, then, if in fact we're going by the newspaper articles, the one who filed a lawsuit in effect says, he's not trying to cut them off the bonus. If it reaches that point, he will evidently withdraw it. So if we're going to, you know, Has anybody talked to this particular person?
I've talked to...
Do they see the danger in pursuing it? Why are they going to pull back?
I'll go on.
Go ahead.
Because I think we ought to go a little further before we make a decision. I did talk to the Attorney General, I also talked to the attorney for the plaintiff, and I don't think there's any intent on anybody's part, or not anybody's part in this group either, to stop the program. I think it's probable that they would not file to simply stop action on the program if there's no agreement reached. The process could go on until we went into session, and we'd be addressing this, and all the other residency problems we're going to have as a result of the voting decision. Something that I wanted to bring up, because what would happen if that agreement went into effect, there's currently 9,000 people on the program, and the Attorney General's saying there will be 2,000 more people apply. That information is just way out of line. In checking with our local senior center here, we have 27 residents, of which 9 are getting longevity bonus. We'd be looking at not a supplemental of 4 to 6 million, as they're thinking about. We'd be looking at a supplemental of maybe 25 million if this program really went as far as they're trying to go. And if we want to make that decision, I certainly wouldn't want to prejudge against that decision, but I think we put ourselves in a position of bankrupting the program very rapidly and then having to go back and try to come up with something, I think it's a very serious mistake. I don't think we accentuate the problem by not making an agreement at this point, because I don't think the attorneys or the Attorney General want to see the program stop. And I don't think any of us do. I think there's a whole other issue that comes up in conversation, and that's the obligation of the legislature to defend non-severability. If, in fact, we allow severability to come down through a court action, regardless of what we said in the statute, I think we've lost a substantial amount of power of the legislative process. I think that's exactly what would happen. The statute says clearly the act is invalid. It doesn't offer any other alternatives. And to adopt either an interim solution or an ongoing solution simply by court, where the statute says 25 years, it says before January 1959, that's what the legislature funded. And to use that funding for a different program until it runs out and then bankrupt the program, we're jeopardizing those who are already on the program, and we're putting ourselves in a very weak position on the whole issue of severability. And I think we've got an obligation to protect the legislature's prerogative in saying that a statute is either severable or non-severable.
There's several people who'd like to vote on this motion who do have to leave, and there's at least one person here, myself, who intends to vote against it to give the motion a fair treatment. I'd like to handle it as soon as possible.
What is the motion?
I don't know who wants to restate it at this point. Representative Brown, can you restate the pending motion for me?
Letter we sent the Attorney General and the Governor expressing our position that we've discussed here, that they should not take this action, and if they continue the action, that we intervene in the case of the party or as a friend of the court, if that's necessary, spend up to $5,000 for that purpose.
I got it.
And Mr. Chairman, I do want to address the matter. I think Senator Kelly does too.
Senator Kelly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Halford in that if we cave in this quick on a residency question on the Pioneer's bonus, and we're going to cave in equally as quick on residency question with virtually every program we have. And just for openers, let's look at the student loan program. But right now you're talking about only a two-year residency, and we're going to have every young person in the United States coming up here in summertime if we lose that two-year residency problem. And so, you know, you're looking at major problem areas and a whole host of programs if we don't take this action. And I disagree with the Attorney General's position, and I think we should go ahead and do this.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Katula.
Thank you very much. I know my learned colleague has something to offer that's more important and more in detail, but I do want to say that the whole program does have substance that I don't think was properly addressed by the Attorney General, anything I can see in the media, and that is that we have boilerplated it with more than 10 years of service. It's been exactly, that law has been exactly to the comma the same for all this period.
and we did incorporate a period of time of residence in the old territory. I think there's a whole lot of conditions here that should be looked at that I doubt have been seriously looked at in support of continuing this program. And I think we need some real, real substantive legal look at it in support of continuation. But they tell me that precedence does have some bearing in a matter like this when you don't change in any detail whatsoever the law.
Sure. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Chairman. My only problem right now is based on what Mr. Halford said, it appears that if the plaintiff is saying he doesn't want to cut anybody off just by bringing his lawsuit, he may do that. The judge, if he can read the statute and understands the law well enough, could well just on his own say, look, Attorney General and plaintiff's lawyer, this is all very fine, but you can't amend the statutes. This says if you consent and there's some kind of consent decree that this is unconstitutional and I agree with it, then I have to just set aside this entire thing and void the whole thing with or without any kind of a letter or action by us, and the judge might well do that. So it would seem to me that if there's any credence to the plaintiff's attorney's statement that he doesn't really want to cut everybody off, that maybe he better reconsider what could happen, either if we intervene or if the judge just does that on his own motion. And maybe if you're in touch with him, you know, how to bring that to his attention, for God's sake.
Further discussion on the motion. Ready for the question.
Call for the question.
Let's call for the question. Ms. Cherney, please call the roll of the council on the motion.
President Curtula.
Yes.
Representative Miller.
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
Yes.
Senator Ray.
Yes.
Senator Rohde.
Yes.
Representative Vasca.
Yes.
Chairman Malone.
No.
Representative Byrne.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No. I may change.
Senator Eliason.
Yes.
You're not allowed to vote that way.
8-2.
The motion...
Senator Kelly, I'm sorry.
Yes.
9-2.
The motion is adopted by a vote of 9-2.
Mr. Chairman, now that we've...
Senator Eliason.
We've accommodated by Senator Ray by the vote. Can we go back to some more of the information you've got from the Attorney General? What did he say in regards to severability clause? He must have specifically asked about that.
Well, there's several questions that were brought up. And trying to separate them out. One of the questions you brought out is if the severability clause is contended to be used as maybe for a non-constitutional purpose, in other words, to discourage lawsuits, someone could challenge the severability clause itself on that basis and find the severability unconstitutional. That's one of the questions that could be brought out. That's why the whole issue of severability is a broader issue than this case. The legislature passes a statute that says we want to do it this way or we don't want to do it at all. The court comes back and says you can't do it that way, you must utilize the funds to do it this way. I think it's a substantial invasion of the separation of powers. That's one of the real concerns that I have. I don't think the Attorney General is trying to pull a wool over anybody's eyes in the actual outcome of a case. I'm very concerned that the result that Representative Brown mentioned would be the result if it went before a judge. The judge could very well agree with the Attorney General that the existing statute is unconstitutional. He could then turn around and disagree with the proposal to basically open the program to everybody until it runs out of money and say that the severability is in fact the case, the non-severability is in fact the case, and therefore the program is invalid just as the statute says it would be. The result is we lose the entire program. I think that's the point where, as Senator Petrulis said in the morning's paper, that the only solution for an immediate resolve at that point is a special session if you're going to look at that as a reason to call a special session. But that would be the only solution you'd have at that point to keep the program going. And I certainly don't want to see us get into that kind of position.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelly.
With the action we just took, we're no longer contemplating a special session, correct?
Well, I certainly.
I don't know what we're contemplating, I think. My observation, or if I can make a comment on this, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that those things that Representative Alfred is pointing out are certainly valid, but it, I would hope they would occur with equal facility to the Attorney General as they, you know, would occur to Representative Halford, in that, that the Attorney General is not moving the program into a blind alley. He knows what he's doing. I don't, I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. Representative Cotton.
Oh, I just had a question. I understand that in cases like this, the Attorney General does have pretty broad settlement powers. And we haven't heard from Barry around it. I guess it really sort of moved now that the council's already taken some action, but it appears that in the past, at least it's happened that way. I think that the settlement would be contrary to law. I think there's a couple of land programs, like the McKinsey sale over there. They made an out-of-court settlement that was different than what the statute stated. So I think that perhaps this non-severability or severability situation might be considered separately, but that's going to be just, it's going to be up to the court. That's why we ought to be in court, I suppose, with, as you say, defending that. But I know it's happened before. Even though the statute says A, they settle out of court and say B, and that's the way it goes.
If I can respond to that, the land law specifically doesn't have
a severability thing,
and the general statute on severability says unless there's a specific exemption, it is severable. So there's some legal ground to do that in the, you know, land disposal program, where this is one of the few things that specifically states it's not changed. I'd kind of like to hear something from Mr. Barry as well. I've had a little bit of conversation, but I'd just kind of like to have it.
Well, Ms. Barry, do you have a comment to offer on the current complexities?
It appears to me that one of the points, the Attorney General, of course, does have very broad settlement powers on behalf of the state. I believe that we probably would not have the power to intervene. I do believe we could file as an amici. But there is a point, of course, that, as has been pointed out repeatedly, the Attorney General and the parties have the power to propose a settlement to the court. The court does not have to accept the settlement that's proposed. I would suggest that if we intervene, we would intervene requesting that, in light of the non-severability clause and in light of the difficult questions, that no settlement be entered until there had been a full trial of the issue. And I would seriously doubt, since an injunctive relief against the continuing program is essentially on the balancing the hardship, it's possible, but I would very seriously doubt that the court would enter an injunction cutting off the program until the conclusion of the litigation, because it seems to me the balance of hardship would be so much more on the recipients of the program if they didn't get it during the litigation than it would on the state. That's, of course, a risk that you always take. It would appear to me that what I'm essentially directed to do under this motion, assuming we have to file as an amici, is to, in fact, request that a determination on the merits be postponed because of these questions until the legislature has had an opportunity to look at this and to look at allied questions in the process of a session. Incidentally, that is my understanding, and I think that's the council's understanding of what we're asked to present. Am I correct?
Any further questions for Mr. Barrier on the special order of business? If not, then I guess that concludes the special order of business. Continuing with the regular agenda items, the council previously took an action making an appointment to the Statehood Commission, and I can't recall the meeting at which that action was taken, but there was a member appointed under the law by votes of the council, and it was brought to my attention by members of the council and other people that the appointment was taken up as a special order of business. There was not an opportunity for people to, other people to be considered for the appointment. There were other people who were interested. Mr. Miles Davick was appointed by the council. And I did talk to Mr. Davick about that and explained to him that I thought that probably the council, as chairman of the council, the item was not handled entirely fairly, and we would put it back on the agenda so that his appointment more or less was not finally decided by the council. I think he understands that. So the item is back on the agenda today. If the members of the council do wish to consider other names for appointment, it would be necessary to rescind the previous action of the council. And I don't know what the council wants to do, but the reason that item's on there is so that if a member of the council wants to make the motion, the chair is certainly willing to entertain a motion to rescind.
Chairman, I have an inquiry here. Mr. Davich is a candidate for public office. Would that cause any conflict as far as state statutes concerned? Or did state, I know that I believe Mr. Boucher was on it. He resigned because he's running currently for governor.
I think that the members of the Statehood Commission have a voluntary agreement among the membership that if a person engages in something like that, that they would not retain their position on the commission. However, that's entirely voluntary with the membership.
Do you know if Mr. Davich intends to withdraw his name or withdraw from the commission itself?
When I talked to Mr. Davich, he did understand that the it was fair to consider other names. I explained that to him very carefully. But he didn't have any intention of resigning from the commission.
Has he taken part in any of the meetings of the commission?
Yes, he did attend the meeting that was held in Juneau near the end of the session. And the at that time, the Statehood Commission did not have from the council a letter of appointment, and Mr. Davick, per diem and transportation, was paid by the Statehood Commission. However, he didn't participate in the meeting itself. So that's the status of that. If no action is taken by the council, the previous appointment, of course, would stand.
I don't think we can, Mr. Chairman. There are only six of us.
Well, I noticed that, too.
We take no action.
We take no action.
Is he appointed or isn't he?
He is appointed. It will not appear on the agenda again. The appointment, in effect, is no longer an item for consideration of the council unless some other member wants to bring it up. I put it on the agenda because on reflection I thought that it probably was not fair. The nominating process wasn't entirely fair and it wasn't intended,
Mr. Chairman, two more.
To be otherwise.
Oh, two more. I thought you wanted
to Chairman, I'm not convinced that the nominating procedure wasn't entirely fair. If I recall correctly, we put that off about four meetings over a process of 2 months, and I think that the person who had 8 votes on legislative council probably was nominated and was appointed correctly. You know, there was no secret about how it was done. It went on for a long time, a period of several meetings.
Wasn't anything underhanded about it, no. Okay, well, if there is no action by the council on that, there will be a letter to the commission, to Mr. Davick, ratifying his appointment.
In that case, no action will be taken.
We've already had the fiscal year 81 audit report. The next item would require, under new business, would require a quorum of the council for action here. But we should go into that item so that we can at least discuss it. There were note that Representative Brown is...
We need one more besides...
Is Pat still out there?
Nobody?
I will go see if any of you...
Fred's not, you know.
Following the adoption of the funding bill by the legislature and its review by the governor, the final changes some of the final changes in the budget require some adjustments. One of those areas occurs in the appropriations that were made to the council deciding where to make some reductions in the budget. Members, I believe, have in front of them a July 8th memorandum that shows what the requests were from the various committees and the appropriation that was made. In case of the council, the total requests were $569,000. The authorization was $440,000. However, one of the items was funded elsewhere. So we had, and
so we need to decide where $29,000.
We have to make a decision on where to adjust this budget. The item that was funded elsewhere as the Blue Ribbon Commission was funded in separate legislation. I don't know what the status of the pipeline committees are right now, whether they're active or going to be spending that money. I don't believe the Code Revision Commission, maybe Mr. Brown's here to make some comments on it, has expended all the money that was appropriated last year, did they? I don't know if they plan to do that this year. Well, in order to see where we are in a quorum, why don't we take a short recess, a 5-minute recess to call the chair.
We're always just asking them to consent, so the vote's not
good. Well, if somebody didn't like what we did, though, we'd be fussing about it. Please.
Did you guys already do that?
Bye. Did you do that before? We made an attempt to round up a quorum during the recess without any success so far. And since some of the remaining business would involve reallocation of funds, I wouldn't want to attempt to take that action without having a proper quorum here. So, leaving the council in position of being able to conduct no other business besides adjournment, we could set a time and place for the next meeting, but I think with the possibility, with the different issues that were discussed here today, that it might be better to leave that open at the present time. I don't know if we're going, the next meeting, next time I see you folks, will be in a council meeting or a special session myself, but if there are suggestions, take them under advisement.
August 24th.
Sometime in September.
Unless there is an emergency of some kind that comes up, I would not anticipate we would have a meeting before the August primary.
Hmm. What's the day after the primary?
I'll go to that.
No. Western Conference is still going.
2 days after the primary.
You'll still be in Salt Lake City.
Is there a business, or are there other items of business that, or items that people want to bring before the council at this time? I would note that Mike Bradner is here, And there may be other people who are waiting to talk to council on business. On behalf of the council, appreciate your attending the meeting. It's unfortunate we don't have a quorum to take up the business, and apologize.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know what Mike Bradner's business is. I don't know what he's proposing.
But proposal involving economic and legislative reports, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see that or not.
Well, no, I haven't. Sure that you get I don't get one today, I won't have an opportunity to see it before the next meeting either.
Make sure that you get one.
Is it the thing that says short-term needs analysis?
No, that's from Senator Petula.
Well, you know, it's been kind of customary the last couple of years that all contracts were held over at least one meeting, so everybody had an opportunity to.
I wouldn't propose taking action until the members have an opportunity to review in detail.
Did I get one in the mail?
No, I don't want one.
Okay, there was a motion to adjourn.
There was.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Thank members for attending the meeting.